Before the season began, many pundits across North America called for the Vancouver Canucks to be a front runner for the Stanley Cup. Here we are at the halfway mark of the season, and who's on top of the standings? Well, gosh darn it, it's those very same Vancouver Canucks. Chris and I are going to talk, probably very smugly, about how our hometown team is leading the league. All right, for the first time in a few episodes, we're back to our actual original theme song, which is a bit of a relief. I'm here with my good friend Chris Withers.
Jason, good to be here. Things are looking bright and sunny for the Vancouver Canucks.
They're looking bright and sunny for the Canucks. They're looking not so bright and sunny for you and for me, as we just dropped a bunch of money on probably the worst film I've seen in a few years now.
Yeah, we just got back from Tron Legacy. I can save you $12 to $15 right now. Wave off, folks. If you're thinking of this, do not go and see Tron.
End of line. Let's hope this is end of line. It was an atrocious bit of overspending. You know what? This movie was the New Jersey Devils of movies.
What are we at now? What is he on pace for?
As of today, Ilya Kovalchuk, halfway through the season, after signing his $100 million deal. Now, since the lockout, this is a man who has scored no fewer than 41 goals in a given year. He is on pace for 45 this year, Chris. 45 points!
Well, he's got 9 years to figure it out, doesn't he?
What an absolute disaster in New Jersey. The exact opposite of what we see in Vancouver right now.
You know what? The Canucks are playing so good that I've heard a number of people in the media lamenting the fact because they don't have anything to talk about. They're resorting to nitpicking Roberto Luongo not coming out for a 3-star selection because he was ticked off about losing the shutout bid.
And I think it was Pasatibulis who tweeted that the Canucks must be doing very well right now if 2 points on Long Island is being, again, lamented because it went to overtime and we only scored three goals on 51 shots.
They didn't beat the team soundly enough. Yeah, I don't know.
And for some reason, to be fair to those people who are complaining, you know what? I don't want to be fair to those people who are complaining. The Canucks are on the best 20-game run in their franchise history.
As a matter of fact, they have been on the best 20-game tear in franchise history for the last, I think it's 5 games. So they have actually...
They've probably continued to set a new record.
Yeah, continued to set a new record for the last 5 games.
It is amazing. You look at the top of the NHL standings, the Vancouver Canucks are 3 points clear of the Philadelphia Flyers and the Detroit Red Wings. Detroit is the only team that has gotten 2 points from Vancouver in the last 20 games. They've done it twice, mind you.
Yeah, they beat them the first time on a terrible, was it Dan Hamhuis turnover that led directly to a goal?
It led to a goal, and it was, to be fair to Dan Hamhuis, it was also a weak goal on Luongo. Okay. He let in that game, you might remember, he let in 2 goals to Henrik Zetterberg, both of them very shaky.
Yeah, I think that was one of the few games that I did not get to see.
And one of those goals actually came from behind the goal line, and the overtime goal was a shot that, frankly, he should have had, and most goaltenders would have had. However, that's the only weak game the guy has played in the last 2 months.
Ages. December 5th was the last time the Vancouver Canucks lost in regulation against the St. Louis Blues.
And we are now in the middle of January.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
So basically, this is what it has felt like to be a Detroit Red Wings fan for the last 12 years.
Yeah, we talked about this a while ago, off air, and I said, and I still feel like this, there's a little nagging sense in the back of my mind that something's going to happen, that the bottom's going to fall out.
Okay, take a look at the Detroit Red Wings. Would anybody call the Detroit Red Wings a failure as an organization?
No.
In the last 20 years?
No.
No. This is a team that when they drafted Steve Yzerman in the 80s, was awful. Yes. That's why they got Yzerman. So, I mean, they were last in the league. They were atrocious. They built a good franchise. They built good scouts, and they built good farm teams. And they have flourished since then. They have won multiple cups. Now, they don't win every year. Chris. They don't win every year. They're a threat to win every year.
And nobody expects them to. But the last time the Vancouver Canucks led the NHL, if I'm not mistaken, they missed the playoffs.
What year was that? It was 93?
No. The last year that they were actually at the front of the NHL near the midpoint of the season was, I think it was 06-07. And they ended up tanking and missing the playoffs.
06-07? That's only 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't believe that that's true. I think it's been longer than that. I think we're looking at least 8 years. And it was prior to Roberto Luongo coming here.
I think you don't remember it because they missed the playoffs.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You know what? I'm being a Debbie Downer here, and I shouldn't be, because they are playing their asses off. Yes, I said Debbie Downer.
I'm sorry. You are being a Debbie Downer?
That is correct, sir.
I got nothing. I'm absolutely flabbergasted by that. Nicely done, sir. A Debbie Downer.
All right.
You are such a square.
Now I've got nothing.
There you go.
Being called a square by you. Jesus Christ. What else do you want to talk about?
Do you think that Ryan Kesler is the team MVP at this point in the season? A lot of people in the media, a lot of people are throwing this around. Ryan Kesler is 1 point shy of point-a-game pace. So he's not even on pace for 82 points. Both the Sedins are well above a point-a-game right now.
It's so hard to judge something like that with this particular team. I don't think Kesler has the year he's having if one of the Sedins goes down, because suddenly there's less focus necessary on the Sedins, and he would draw more attention. That being said, his breakout year has been nothing short of phenomenal. Yeah, I think the explosiveness that he's brought to the table has taken pressure off of the Sedins, and vice versa. So I'm going to say that yes, he is the most valuable player at this point in the year.
Okay. Does he give, if he's the Canucks MVP, Canucks are the number one team in the league right now, does he give Sidney Crosby a run for his money for the Hart Trophy? Or are we just, we're completely looking at a team effort here?
It's a team effort. Yeah, I think if you had to pick one guy on the Canucks, if you had to, Ryan Kesler would probably be it.
Not Kevin Bieksa.
No, not Kevin Bieksa.
Kevin, really?
Damn fine job he has done, but I don't think he is the most valuable player.
Bieksa's run of incredible play has coincided very nicely with the Canucks run.
Yeah, so is Jeff Tambellini's.
So is Roberto Luongo's.
Yeah, team, depth.
I give MVP nod right now to Roberto Luongo.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Starting the last week in November until now, he has been lights out. I would say starting with that absolutely spectacular shutout against Chicago, in Chicago, he has been phenomenal. And his numbers are as good as anybody's in the league.
Agreed. You know why he won't get it? Because he hasn't really stolen many games for the Canucks, if any.
Oh, he hasn't needed to.
Yeah, exactly.
He's only letting in one goal on 30 shots.
I know.
The Canucks are scoring 7.
You've still got people slagging the guy because he's letting in soft goals occasionally, and he appears to not be necessary.
Well, I give it to Luongo. I think he has upped his play significantly without the captaincy, and I give it to him. Without his strong play on the back end, all those guys rushing forward don't have the confidence to do what they do.
I don't know. There are legitimately 5, maybe 6 All-Stars on the Canucks right now.
So why are only 3 going?
Well, because they balance the league. Somebody has to go from every team.
That's all you got?
We've been through this before. I don't care about the All-Star game.
Actually, sorry, there are 4 going, because Alain Vigneault is going to be one of the coaches as well.
Yeah, that's correct.
Who can we thank for this? Is this Mike Gillis doing a masterful job? Is this Alain Vigneault doing a great job? Is this just the players playing the roles they're supposed to? Or is it across the board, everybody is just doing what they're supposed to do?
I haven't seen much change to Alain Vigneault's style, really. Players are saying that he's learned how to manage them better, that he knows now when to work them a little harder, when to give him a day off, that kind of thing. Gillis, certainly some of the credit has to go to him for bringing in Malhotra in the offseason.
Mm-hmm. And Tambellini.
Tambellini. Torres, like him or not, and I know a lot of people bizarrely hate the guy.
Crazy eyes, hello. Crazy eyes Torres. Have you ever seen a close-up of this guy?
Well, fine, but just because he looks weird. I mean, I know people who think Corey Schneider looks a little off.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know who to give the credit to.
How much credit does Henrik Sedin get for learning the captain's role? I mean, you notice at the beginning of the season, he got the captaincy on opening night. Beginning of the season, the Canucks, they were okay, but they didn't really find much chemistry. How much of this run can be given to the Sedins and the leadership that they're showing on?
I'm going to go ahead and say that it's not too much of a factor. I think that the struggles the Canucks had to start the year were more a result of a couple of injuries that caused some rotations, some line juggling, and once they found the formula that worked, that's when they started to take off.
Alex Burrows missed the first how many games of the season? Sedin's kind of struggled to find a rhythm until he came back. Even when he came back, he wasn't really 100%, but by then the Sedins had gotten going and they were feeling better. Mason Raymond misses some games, who really was a spark plug on that second line last year when he got moved up to the second line. And the Canucks did not miss a beat.
They did. Kessler got off to a slow start this year, if you remember. But and his and you know what? When Jeff Tambellini was brought up and started slotting in for Mason Raymond, that is when that
That's what I'm saying, is when Mason Raymond missed time. That did not cause any concerns, even though you had a major piece missing from your top six forwards.
Okay, yeah.
When Alex Burrows was gone, and he doesn't factor in on all of Sedin's goals.
No.
But when Alex Burrows was gone, the whole team seemed a little bit like they were misfiring.
Discombobulated?
Sure. I don't know what that means. But no, they were very... They were off. Is Alex Burrows the key to that offense? The guy's had, what, 9 goals since he got back. Is he the key? Is that what has sent them on this big run?
I don't know. I'm going to say that the Sedin's line mate is the key. Because last year, the Sedins were more than capable of producing offense without Alex Burrows.
Right.
Because Samuelson was up there and clicking with them.
Right, and he wasn't sucking.
Yeah.
As he has done for much of this year.
He has sucked very hard this year. I think that the struggles at the start of the year this year were in large part due to the fact that nobody was playing with the Sedins.
There were only 4 skaters.
There were only 4 skaters on the ice.
Well,
whoever.
Now, that.
Whichever body that they tried to throw over the boards just lay limply twitching around center ice.
That's a coaching problem. If you've only got 4 players on the ice, somebody's got to take AV aside and say, hey, buddy, come on.
Call a timeout, which he never does.
No, he doesn't. The obvious question then, because the Vancouver Canucks are in first place right now, you alluded to a similar situation where they fell apart because they had a difficult second half of the schedule. They fell apart. Was that the year that Naslin admitted they choked?
I think that is the year, yes.
Do the Canucks maintain this torrid pace for the entire season? Are they going to threaten for a President's Trophy this year?
No and yes, in order. They will not maintain the torrid pace that they've been on, which has been, frankly, ridiculous. I don't expect them to garner 120 points in the standings this year.
By the way, may I just say, the Canucks right now are the only team in the NHL with fewer than 10 losses.
Regulation losses. Yeah. I don't see them rising to those heights, but I think they will definitely be in the President's Trophy mix.
They're only 3 points up on Detroit and Philly right now. So you're saying without maintaining this pace, they're still going to threaten for a President's Trophy?
Yeah.
Does that mean that Detroit and Philly are going to cool off?
I think everybody goes through cycles. I think all 3 of those teams are going to hit a cold spell at least once during the second half.
Okay, you could argue that Detroit already has theirs.
Yeah,
there was a while, about 10 games ago, when they had only gotten 4 wins out of 10 games, and that's when they beat the Canucks in overtime.
Yeah, 4 wins out of 10 games is still a respectable number.
Not for the team that, at the time, was the number one team in the Western Conference.
I just don't see any team being able to sustain the pace that the Canucks have been on.
Fair enough. My last statement. If the NHL playoffs were to start today, guess who the Canucks would draw?
Chicago.
The Chicago dirty, rotten, stinking Blackhawks. This year, just because of the problems that they've had in Chicago, this year, the Canucks would stomp them.
Do you think that in order for a Canucks Cup win to have some sense of legitimacy, they have to go through the Blackhawks?
Absolutely not.
No?
No. I don't care. Honestly, I don't care who they beat. It's tough. I mean, once you get to playoff time, there's no way. They're not going to win 16 games in a row in the playoffs. And even if they do, they're not going to be 5-goal wins. A couple of years ago, in the first round, we swept the St. Louis Blues. Every game was tough. We swept the Blues in the first round before we ended up getting the Blackhawks in the second round. Not one of them was an easy win. I don't care who they play. They're going to have to roll through Detroit or someone who beats this Detroit team.
And you don't think that it would ring a little bit hollow if they ended up like perhaps, I think, Philadelphia last year, who got through the playoffs without having to face the top two teams?
Not at all.
No?
No, okay. Not at all. Philadelphia had to play the team that beat the top two teams. You play the best team, and the best team gets there.
Okay.
Top two in the regular season just gives you home ice advantage. Montreal was better than them. Over a seven-game series, and they played a full seven games, Montreal was the better team. That's why they got through to the next round. You don't win a playoff series by fluke.
Okay. I'm going to be happy either way.
Yeah. They do not.
I don't care who they beat.
They do not have to beat the Blackhawks in order to get there. Not at all.
Okay. I'd like to see them beat the Blackhawks, though.
Sure. But I would just like to see them win a cup, and I really don't care who they beat to get there.
You know what would be interesting? You know what would be absolutely terrible, I think, for a number of Canucks fans? Just make them tear their hair out. Get all the way through the first three rounds of the playoffs and end up playing Atlanta in the cup final with Bufflin and whoever else they...
You know, that's not outside the realm of possibility right now. This rookie Pavlich started the game on a stretcher, and that makes sense because he has played unconscious most of the season.
Wow. Did you really just say that?
I did just say that. You don't agree? The guy's been outstanding.
He's been outstanding, but that was just incredibly cheesy.
It's true. I speak the truth, my friend. I speak the truth.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
come to the light, Chris. Move to the light.
I hope you all out there are buckled up for what's sure to be a great second half run. Hope you enjoyed listening. I'm Chris Withers.
I'm Jason Carrillo. And honestly, what can we talk about? It's just two guys with beer blathering on about their team being first in the league. It's really hard to find things to complain about when things are going so well. Okay, cue the other shoe. It's time for it to drop.
Time for a change.
you know what? When he first came up, his picture on NHL.com looked very pedophilish. It was really weird.
All right.
Can we get in trouble for saying that?
I'm not touching it. Personally. I'd just like everyone to know that it was Chris Withers who said that. Chris Withers.
Chris Withers was just reporting what other people had said, and which he could kind of see too.
Once again, I have no idea what you're talking about.